Welcome to Eternal Christendom, consecrated to Our Lady for the glory of our Lord. I'm Joshua Charles. Our mission at this apostolate is to cultivate saints, sages, and statesmen through the great tradition, and so we are very glad that you are joining us. So today we're going to do another type of episode that we coined called Papal Snapshot, and basically what a papal snapshot is, we'll take one story, one quote, one episode in church history, particularly the ancient church, first millennium, that in some way illustrates the Pope's authority and over the church on earth. And I want to emphasize something here just so people realize, you know, the snapshot is not meant, you know, to provide a comprehensive argument for Catholic doctrine of the papacy. You know, there's many elements to that. And so a snapshot is just that. It's a snapshot. So it's like it's meant to look at just one little segment of history. And the goal is that we'll eventually have a playlist with all these snapshots, and you can literally just go through and watch them. And I think the result will be that the cumulative picture that you'll see is that the papacy is not only thoroughly biblical, thoroughly common sense, but thoroughly historical. You know, and there are issues we'll work through and objections we'll address. There are valid questions about certainly some episodes in the history of the church. But that's what these papal snapshots are for, just a short little snapshot about something in the first millennium related to the papacy. So in that spirit, today's roadmap, this papal snapshot concerns the assertions about the Pope's authority in resolving doctrinal questions. And this is by St. Peter Chrysologus in a letter written in AD 448. And this letter was addressed to the condemned, well, the later condemned, Eastern heretic Eutyches. So the roadmap for today is as follows. First, our thesis is that St. Peter Chrysologus's letter provides very strong evidence of a Catholic understanding of the papacy, and in particular, the necessity of the Pope in resolving doctrinal issues. And we'll show this by providing historical context for the letter, then quoting some relevant sections of St. Peter Chrysologus's letter to Eutyches, and then summarizing the conclusions we believe can be reasonably inferred from this letter. So first, let's cover a little bit of historical context. In 448, Eutyches, a priest and archimandrite, this is a superior abbot of a monastery in Constantinople, an abbot's the head of a monastery, in case you haven't heard, he wrote to St. Peter Chrysologus, and St. Peter Chrysologus was the bishop of Ravenna in Italy, which is in northern Italy, and he was writing to him about doctrinal controversies that were taking place in the East. That year, he was condemned by a council convened by Bishop Flavian of Constantinople for what would eventually become known as the heresy of Eutychianism, which was a form of monophysitism. So I know some of these are fancy terms, but essentially the various forms of the monophysite heresy, what they essentially taught was that Christ's humanity had been absorbed by his divine nature, resulting in one ultimately divine nature rather than the orthodox position that Christ was one person with two natures, human and divine. Eutyches refused to accept the council's verdict. Again, this council was a local council in Constantinople. And he wrote St. Peter Chrysologus, a bishop, and St. Pope Leo the Great for protection. And he was appealing to the Pope. Eutyches was eventually condemned, however, by Pope Leo and the Council of Chalcedon a few years later in AD 451. So let's go to St. Peter Chrysologus' letter to Eutyches. So Eutyches' letter, the one that he wrote to him, was received with great grief, and St. Peter Chrysologus decried the loss of peace among priests and churches. This is from section one of his letter. Quote, "For just as peace among the churches, mutual harmony among priests, and the tranquility of the people cause us to rejoice with heavenly joy, so fraternal dissension afflicts and depresses us, especially when it arises from causes such as these," meaning disputes about the nature of Christ. "After so many centuries, Christ's origin, which the divine law calls indescribable, is still bandied about in rash disputation," end quote. He continued by contrasting the worship of Christ by the Magi, who were the three wise men who came to see Jesus in Bethlehem. He contrasted the worship of Christ by the Magi with the disputation about him by priests. Quote, "By their symbolic gifts, the Magi acknowledged Jesus in the cradle as God. Yet priests, by their lamentable debating, dispute about who he is, who was conceived from the Holy Spirit and born by a virgin birth. Neither can we turn this matter over and over again in our minds in detrimental fashion. We are ordered to honor him and fear him and await him, not to debate about him whom we acknowledge as our judge," end quote. The letter concludes with a significant statement on papal authority. This is from section two. Quote, "However, we give you," meaning Eutyches, "we give you this exhortation in regard to everything, honorable brother. obediently heed these matters which the most blessed Pope of the city of Rome has written, because Peter, who lives and presides in his own see, proffers the truth of faith to those who seek it. For in accordance with our pursuit of peace and of faith, we cannot decide upon cases of faith without the harmonious agreement of the Bishop of Rome." End quote. So here are some conclusions we think we can draw from this letter to Eutyches. First, St. Peter Chrysologus believed that through the papacy, St. Peter, quote, lives and presides, unquote, from the Roman Church, and exercises this ministry through the Bishop of Rome, the Pope, as his successor. Second, in his ministry as the successor of St. Peter, the Pope, quote, proffers the truth of faith to those who seek it, unquote. At the very least, this statement by St. Peter Chrysologus implies the notion of papal infallibility, since he declares that, quote, the truth of faith, unquote, will be made available to all who seek it of the Pope, which flows from the fact that St. Peter, quote, lives and presides, unquote, over the Roman Church. Third, Christians have a duty to pursue peace and faith, and this duty means doctrinal disputes about the faith cannot be resolved without the agreement of the Pope. St. Peter Chrysologus seems to assume that Eutyches, an Easterner, is aware of this. Even if he was not, though by virtue of the fact that he appealed to St. Pope Leo the Great, he certainly seemed to be, St. Peter Chrysologus' statement assumes that the Pope's authority extends to him, meaning Eutyches, as much as to anyone in the West, making his jurisdiction universal. Fourth, these premises lead to the conclusion that St. Peter Chrysologus had a thoroughly Catholic understanding of the papacy as the supreme authority in the Church on matters of doctrine. While he is not explicit in asserting that the Pope can act alone in such matters, he nonetheless believes that no council can render a final judgment in matters of faith for the whole Church without the Pope's agreement. So for those reasons, this letter that St. Peter Chrysologus writes to Eutyches is quite significant, I think, and it fits by far the best with the Catholic paradigm that we still see operative today in the same Catholic Church. So with that concludes today's papal snapshot. We'll close with our usual anthem, Psalm 73, verses 25 to 26. "Who have I in heaven but you, and on earth I desire nothing but you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but the Lord is the strength of my heart and my portion forever."